Ephesians 5 here tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. Getting close to the end of our learning to walk with God. Let's proceed to that here tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. Pick up at verse 7 and following. First of all, as we see here tonight, we'll be walking as children of light. And even as we were talking about earlier, it just seems like our world is getting darker and darker and darker spiritually, more and more evil. So that gives us a greater opportunity to shine brightly in a sin-darkened world. It says here in Ephesians chapter 5, notice verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Right? So we're talking about in the context, we're to walk in love, as we saw verses 1 through 6. We're to not be partakers with unbelievers. Of course, we're to be separate from the world. Amen. For ye were, past tense, notice, ye were past tense, sometimes darkness. But now, notice present tense, are ye light in the Lord. So notice here's our next statement, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and notice, Christ shall give thee light. And we'll pick up there another aspect here. But I want you to notice again, it says here in verse 8, we are to walk as children of light. So that's how we are to walk. God tells us this. I want you to notice a parallel passage with this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. Again, even in this context, we're talking about the last days. Of course, verse 3 talks about when they shall say, or so we're, they, talking about they, we, all right, so the church and those who are not part of the church, not believers. Verse 3, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So we have a contrast that he emphasizes here. Notice then, verse 4, it says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. All right, so there should be a difference, again, as we've already been emphasizing in this, how we live our lives. We should be different from this world. We should not be partaking in the wickedness of this world. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, all right, so notice again this contrast that he emphasizes throughout all these verses. But let us who are partakers, who are of the day, I should say, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also as ye do. As we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, again, I want you to notice here this statement, this emphasis on how we are to live in light. Ye were sometimes darkness. Spiritually, we were in darkness. But now, notice, ye are light in the Lord. Notice the key, we're not light in and of ourselves. So you notice the emphasis there, we are light in the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is the one who enables us to walk as children of light. And so with that said, I want you to notice some statements in John chapter 1. As we think about Jesus Christ being the light of the world, and I want you to notice in particular, there's a few verses in chapter 3 I want to emphasize. But I want you to notice John chapter 1, notice verses 1 and following, as we see here this emphasis on the Word, the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not just a God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. He was God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one, one together in the Godhead. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ was not a created being. He did not begin to exist at Bethlehem. So again, we see here he was in the beginning of eternity, and also in the beginning of time as the world was created. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and notice the life was the light of men. Now, there's several aspects, I believe, to this. Notice the life was the light of men. First of all, I believe there's an aspect of intellect and understanding. We do not have the ability to understand things without God's help. God is the one who gives us a mind. Some choose to use it, some do not. But anyway, but again, the life was the light of men. But as you think about this light, the Lord Jesus Christ being the life, giving men light, notice the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Spiritually, somebody is not able to comprehend the light of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit working in that. Again, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 even indicates that. Notice there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same was came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, light, that all men through him might believe. All men, all nations. Again, we've seen this throughout the early chapters of the Gospels. All men, not just the Jews. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I believe the application is also true for us. We are not the light. I know Matthew 5, we'll talk about that. We are the light of the world. But that's the only way that's even possible is because we're reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. We are not a light source in and of ourselves. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So everyone has opportunity for the light, but not everyone is going to be able to comprehend the light because of the spiritual darkness that they have. Notice also chapter 3, verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. All right, so present tense, already condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. There's a key reason why the lost do not comprehend the light of Jesus Christ. Because again, they're condemned, they're under condemnation because men love darkness rather than light because of their deeds being evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. All right, so here's our atheist thing that we heard from the letter a little while ago. They hate the light. Why? Because they're going to have to change their way of life if they are exposed to the light of Jesus Christ. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's why our professors and PhDs and all them in our universities today, that's why they often will talk about, no God, there is no God. Well, they don't want to comprehend God because if there's a creator, they're also going to have to give an account of their lives. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, notice that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And again, John 8, verse 12 says that Jesus calls himself the light of the world. John chapter 12, there's several references to Jesus being light in the Gospel of John. It's very interesting to compare all of them. While you're turning there, Malachi 4, verse 2 describes Jesus Christ as the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Actually, think about the brightness of the sun when there's no clouds in the sky. You think about the brightness of the sun. Jesus Christ is the Son of righteousness. John 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, while the light is still here, believe in the light. Notice that statement. Believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. Oh, that sounds like Ephesians chapter 5. Walk as children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. This does not mean that God does not want them saved. The Bible tells us various places He wants all men to be saved. But if they are determined to continue in their wickedness, they reject the light that is exposed to them, then I believe what God does is He withholds the light from them as they have chosen their path. These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Of course, a reference to Isaiah chapter 6. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There's another reason why people do not go to the light. It's because they don't want to be considered to be weird and, you know, all crazy and insane and all those things, like the letter pointed out earlier. Now, I want to emphasize this also as far as Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. Listen to this statement from Acts 26, verse 18. As far as Paul's ministry, Jesus said his ministry would be to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Of course, Jesus Christ is speaking there. As far as unbelievers walk in spiritual darkness, as I've already emphasized. It's interesting. Psalm 82, verse 5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. What I think is, in fact, we saw this in Ephesians 4 as well. What I think is interesting is, people walk on in darkness and they don't really want to, you know, be exposed to the light of God's truth. So they walk on in darkness, oblivious to anything that they could experience. So again, unbelievers walk in spiritual darkness. In fact, notice with me, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So we see here this emphasis in relation to the light of the Lord and the darkness. 1 John 1, verse 5 through 7. This then is the message. Notice, this is the real message. If you're not familiar with this, there's a perversion that came out years ago called The Message. It's very, very New Age. If I remember right, the guy who, quote-unquote, translated that knows the truth. I think he's passed away now. But this then is the real message, let me add, which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So, in fact, James 1:17 talks about him being, light there as well. And it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, notice, we lie and do not the truth. Yeah, I'm saved. You can't ever look at my life and figure that out, but I'm saved. Notice, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, again, our walk, you know, what's our life like? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Also, chapter 2, verse 8. And of course, John gives, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives several ways to find and make sure that we are saved as far as assurance of salvation. Again, a new commandment, 1 John 2, verse 8, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the, notice, true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Again, light helps us to not stumble. Spiritually, that's true as well. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness. Notice again that statement as far as walking in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So again, the emphasis on these things. I want you to notice this as far as Matthew 4, as far as what believers have in relation to this light. There's a couple of aspects of light source. Of course, we've already seen that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But I want you to notice some things here in relation to the light of the gospel. So we as believers have the light of the gospel. Matthew 4, verse 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun, the tribe of Zebulun, and Nephilim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Nephilim, by the way of the sea, notice, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. So again, we see here this emphasis, the difference between Galilee and the southern kingdom of Judah, as I've taught before. But notice, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now there's two aspects of this. First of all, we have the light of the world, Jesus. But he's also, notice verse 17, preaching the gospel. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Jesus preached repentance. So why are there so many independent Baptists today? Oh yeah, repentance is adding works to this. Jesus is not teaching adding works to salvation. Obviously, repentance is a commanded aspect of salvation. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we have the light of the gospel. Also, I want you to think about this. We have the light of the word of God. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want you to notice that truth here in 2 Peter chapter 1. The light of the word of God. That's why I believe very strongly that we should be opening our Bibles and looking at what the Bible says. We should be paying attention to what the Bible teaches. And every day we should be spending time in God's Word. Now, I want you to think about this. If a 7-year-old can do it, then we as adults should be able to do it. I was so happy and rejoicing as our, where's he's eight now? Seven. I was rejoicing when he came down, was it Thursday morning? I was sitting at the table there, and he brought his Bible down with him. He wasn't going to school on Thursday. Mom got permission to keep him home since we were there. So little Miles came down to the kitchen table. He opened up his Bible to Genesis chapter 11. That's where he's at in his reading. He opened up his Bible, and he started reading as Grandpa was sitting at the other end of the table doing his Bible reading. I was excited to see that. And he talked about where he was at, and he's up to Genesis 11 now. He started right at the beginning. You know, every day he reads, you know, at least, you know, major portion of a chapter. But notice here the importance of the Word of God. Notice it says in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, what I want you to notice here, what Peter is doing here, is he's saying, here's our experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. But we have something that is better than our personal experience of what we saw as an eyewitness on the Mount of Transfiguration. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that is my beloved Son. No, this I should say is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. We saw God's glory. We heard God the Father speak. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the mount, in the Holy Mount. But notice what he says in verse 19. All right, so that's their experience. Three of the disciples experienced that. But we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what they experienced on the Mount of Transfiguration. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Notice the word of God. The inspired word of God is a light, like a light that shineth in a dark place. Excuse me. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God gave us exact words, but this book here is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is how we should be reading, at least spiritually speaking. We should be walking through life. All right, here's what the Bible says. This is how I need. That's why we have so many messes in modern day Christianity. We're not making decisions based on what God says. When we do not make decisions based on what God says in His Word, why did He give us His Word if we're not going to live it? It's here for us. That's why we need to understand what God's will is as far as the Word of God is concerned. So we have the light of the Word of God. It's a light that shineth in a dark place. So how do we walk as children of light? As we go back to Ephesians 5, I want you to notice several things here. How do we walk as children of light? In verses 9 and following, God gives us the emphasis on how this works, because even in fact, you know, there's a continued sentence here after verse 8 even, as we see the statement, walk as children of light. First of all, we notice here a parenthetical statement of explanation. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And of course, Galatians 5 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit are. It's not fruits. I'm gonna try to produce love here today. Joy, peace. No. It's a single cluster of fruit. There's 9 pieces of fruit on the cluster that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. Now, I believe it's very interesting here that he emphasizes this as far as the summary of this. And of course, he's going to give the list of the fruit in Galatians chapter 5. But when you think about this, he summarizes it here in all goodness. All right. So what is morally good? That's something that God the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. All right, righteousness. And of course, I've emphasized this before. What is the root word of righteousness? What is right according to God's will, right? 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 All right, righteousness. All right, so something that is right. Here's the problem with that. We subjectively decide what is right. So when I make my decisions, you know, what would Jesus do? Guess what? I'm going to mess up because I'm not Jesus. I'm not the sinless Son of God. So I'm going to have subjective reasoning that goes into those things. I am not supposed to be deciding what Jesus would do. I'm supposed to read the Bible and see what Jesus did do and base my decisions off of that, based on what the Word of God tells us. So righteousness and truth. So again, as we see the emphasis here, the emphasis here on the fruit of the Spirit that God the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. And of course, Galatians 5 emphasizes a contrast, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. I believe the works of the flesh are none other than what we see here as the works of darkness. They're synonymous. All right. So as we think about this, as far as the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So God the Holy Spirit wants to produce His fruit in our lives in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what it means to walk as children of light. That's the explanation that he gives here. Now, notice verse 10. Here's again how we do these things as far as walking as children of light. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do we prove something? So for example, if you're going to you're looking at a possible vehicle, hopefully you're not one that buys a vehicle, you kick the tires, oh yep, got air in them. And you put down money. It's like, I'm good to go. You don't want to test drive it? Oh no, I'm sure, you're honest, I'm sure. So, well, not necessarily gonna work out so well at times, but here's what I want to emphasize. How do we prove something? Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord? By doing. Here's how we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord: by doing what the Word of God says. It may not always provide a good circumstance, but it's always going to provide a good conscience. There's a big difference there. We can suffer for the cause of Christ, but we can say, well, hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We can focus on serving Him with a good conscience. But again, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, with that said, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So we're to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, familiar passage, but I want you to notice the wording of this in Romans chapter 12. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord through experience, through doing what the Bible says. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And I love the passage related to this. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. God's mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So because of his mercies that are new every morning, every morning is a new opportunity to start over serving God. Notice that he presents your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse 2 is what I want to emphasize. Be not conformed to this world. So if the world is conforming you to its philosophies, then guess what? You're not going to be able to prove God's will. But notice, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In fact, Ephesians 4 that we've already studied a few weeks ago, we see be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may prove, notice that word there, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when we had our Will of God series, I emphasized this. This is not three wills of God. It's a singular will of God. Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All three of these things are related together in the will of God. But again, we are able, as our mind is renewed with the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit applies God's truth to our minds and our hearts, we are able to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord according to His will. Proving what is acceptable in the Lord, and then verse 11 of Ephesians 5, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, as you think about the no fellowship with the unfruitful, notice the unfruitful works of darkness. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Well, my neighbor's pretty loving. No, that's not biblical, godly type of love. So, you know, yeah, they're happy. Our neighbors are happy. But is that biblical joy? Again, we have to distinguish between those two things. These are things that the Holy Spirit produces in us. These are not things that we can conjure up ourselves. But we're to not have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about separating from unbelievers because we have nothing in common. If we have a lot in common with our unsaved neighbors, then there's a spiritual problem there somewhere. We are to not have any fellowship with the unfruitful. Yeah, I mean, I isolate from them. No. We try to reach them, but we don't have them as our closest friends. When they have become our closest friends, guess what? You have the path of least resistance. They're going to pull you down. You're not going to pull them up because they don't even have salvation. We have nothing in common with the unbeliever. My neighbor's, he's a nice person. He might be a nice person, but he's not a saved individual. And all that's going to happen is bring you down spiritually. So again, our closest friends cannot be with unbelievers. That's the Bible emphasizes that because we have nothing in common with them. So how is it that saved people have so much in common with their unsaved neighbors? Unsaved friends. They spend a lot of time talking at work, so on and so forth. I want you to think about the fact that they are going to corrupt your morals. Was it 1 Corinthians 15, 33, is it? 34? It's still in the Bible. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Notice, instead, we are to reprove them. If the unsaved that we associate with never feel any conviction, we're doing something wrong. Notice that. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. They should not feel comfortable around us all the time. I think we have forgotten that. We've become so worldly minded that we have, it seems, too much in common with the lost people around us in the world. How do we reprove them? With righteousness. Right living. Righteous living. You think about Noah. It says that Noah condemned the world. Think about that statement. They felt condemnation as Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Oh, they probably made fun of him for 120 years as he's building this huge ark in the middle of no water close by. Think about that. I'm sure they had a lot of mocking and ridicule. They probably did think that preacher of righteousness was insane, right? But Noah condemned the world. How did he do that? By preaching righteousness and living. In fact, it's interesting. Genesis 7:1. God says, I have seen you, Noah, righteous in this generation. Noah stood out. In fact, Ezekiel 14 even says that Noah, Daniel, and Job stood out in their generation. Again, they should feel some condemnation by how we live our lives. And what we say. What does the word reprove mean? I think sometimes these Bible words, we don't always think about what they mean. It means to charge with a fault to the face. Who are you to call me a sinner? We're all sinners in need of a Savior. They don't want to feel that condemnation. You know, because they know they're planning on living in sin, you know, again on the weekend and all those things. They don't want righteousness to bring conviction to them. The word reprove also means to convince of a fault or to make it manifest. They don't like that for sure. Also, it means to excite a sense of guilt. We call it conviction. If they never feel conviction with us around, then we better check our lives, check our righteousness out. Here's the reason in verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's shameful to even speak of these things that they do in secret. Let me just say it this way. We should not want to sit around at the break table and listen to their wickedness from the weekend. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are noticed, made manifest by the light. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're almost finished here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, if we enjoy listening to unsaved people talk about their wickedness. Anyway. 1 Corinthians 4, notice verse 5 for the sake of time. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, and who both will bring to light. Notice that. He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. There are some preachers I've heard teach that the judgment seat of Christ is going to be all positive. I cannot find that in Scripture. Notice, it's going to be positive after the hidden things of darkness are dealt with by Him. Notice He's going to make manifest even the counsels of the hearts. And then, that's a very important word right there, then shall every man have praise of God. As He deals with the secrets and makes them manifest, then we will have praise from God. But as we think about this, all things are made are made manifest by the light. It says, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. I finally got tired of standing up, tipped over empty dumpster all the time, because we hardly ever have a day that's not windy around here. So as we have trash day on Tuesdays for the next 2 days until I get a heavier bag of garbage in the bottom of that thing, let alone the fact the lid blows open and we have a lot of coons or whatever in this area. So it's like I don't really want to have to clean up all over the yard either. So I decided that made an executive decision. I didn't bring it to church for a vote because I'm the one who deals with it every week. But I decided to move the dumpster back there by the little building because it's a little more sheltered from the wind. Stood up against the wall there. I haven't had a dumpster tip over since I've done that. But what was interesting, though, when I removed, I thought, well, we don't need those little pad things there anymore. So I picked them up, and it was amazing what the light exposed that was in the darkness. Picked that up, I saw centipedes scattering, all kinds of different bugs scattering in all different directions. You think about that as an illustration, spiritually speaking. There's a lot of darkness, and when the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel, the light of the Word of God shines brightly, guess what? It's going to expose some things of darkness. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ, notice, Christ shall give thee light. Now, with that said, Matthew chapter 5, here's that familiar passage I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You're the light of the world, a city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. All right, so what we did not do tonight is get all the lights on and then we covered them up so we can still have some darkness. And tonight I saw a light that needs to be changed. They're sitting in darkness back in that corner. I didn't realize that light went out until I stood up here. But again, you think about it. Darkness. We turn the lights on so that we can have some light, right? So. The illustration Jesus says here is, you know, we don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, hide the light so it can stay dark. Why bother lighting the candlestick then? But notice, on a candlestick, and he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, there's a principle that I heard a preacher mention years ago. I've not been able to forget it. When they stop listening, they're still watching. Think about that. When they don't want to hear the truth, but they're still watching because they know you're a believer because of what you've said. When they stop listening, they're still watching. They're not looking at your bumper sticker. That's not going to tell them you're a Christian. But it's how you live your life, how you work, and what you talk about, and so on. So our light is supposed to shine before men that they may see our good works, and ultimately they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. Why? Because they want the truth that we have. Also notice with me Romans chapter 2, talking about this manifesting. There's a statement here about God's judgment. Notice verses 14 through 16 here. In the context of the conscience, I want you to see what he says here. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So when we live righteously before the lost around us, guess what? The conscience that God gave them is going to feel a little guilty. Hey, you want to go out for a beer tonight? No, thank you. I don't drink. The Lord saved me from that. I mean, think about that. That's going to bother them because there's a conscience within them. And God put the law of God in their conscience. But notice this in verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There's coming a day when God is going to judge secrets, things that people thought they had secret. God already knows about it, and he's going to manifest it in the light. One final passage, Romans 13. This is addressed to believers. Okay, so Romans 2 is to unbelievers. The convicting work of the light of truth. Now notice with me Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, it is now that it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Notice light here is presented as a source of armor, protection from the darkness around us. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Chambering, you know, talking about chambering. You know what that is, right? Living together before marriage. That's what we're talking about there. Chambering and wantonness, no restraint. A wantonness is no restraint morally. Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Whatever area, we are to not make provision for this sinful flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Here's what I want to emphasize tonight. The Bible tells us we are to walk as children of light. That is a command from God. So when we consider and understand this is our light source. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he's given us a book. This is not a textbook. This is not something that, you know, the pastor's supposed to study so that he has something to say on Lord's Day and Wednesday nights. This is our light. Lamp to our feet and light unto our path, showing us how we are to live our lives. And the more this book is not a part of our lives, guess what? We're going to have creeping darkness. And I believe the coming of the Lord Jesus is going to take us by surprise. And we're going to say, oh, I wish I had done more. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live our lives in such a way that we are light as we reflect the Lord Jesus Christ's light into this sin-darkened world. Lord, as our world gets darker and darker in these last days, I pray that you'd help us to see that as an opportunity to shine brighter for thee. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.